Serena, you know what I want to do right now?
What's that, Joe?
I want to travel because I feel like we've been stuck in this apartment for just a little too long.
I couldn't agree more. Honestly, I love getting away. It's great in New York, but I could use a little bit of vacation.
There's nothing I enjoy more than going on vacation with you.
I agree. You're my favorite travel partner.
We can go try new restaurants, check out different cities. Should we go right now?
I mean, we're always looking for our next place to go. So where should we go?
Maybe a beach. I have a good idea. Take the Beachbound Vacations Perfect Beach Finder Quiz. You could find exactly what you are looking for by taking this 5-question assessment. Find your perfect beach vacation and take the perfect beach finder quiz exclusively at beachbound.com. So this year, I'm really focused on my health, sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out right now, and they're one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. They don't use any seed oils, no preservatives or toxins in their supplements. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and they're super easy to take when you're on the go. They also taste good.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking, so I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well, and I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
My routine, I have my eggs in the morning, I take a Symbiotica, and I'm ready to take on the day, hit the gym, I'm more alert. I just feel good. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use Bachelor for 15% off your subscription order.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Bachelor Happy Hour. It is me, one of your hosts, Becca, who's going to take the mic for a few minutes and chat through a few things, because I'm sure if you have been keeping up with the headlines or are on social media and just part of Bachelor Nation as a whole, you know that a lot has gone down within the past week. And we're going to be doing things a little bit differently with this episode, and I need to start first by saying what you're about to listen to. The episode that you're about to hear today was recorded prior to a few things. It's going to probably seem a little bit choppy, a little bit out of context, because since we recorded, Rachel Kirkconnell, who is a contestant on Matt's current season, has released a statement in which she apologized for past racist actions. And it was also recorded prior to Chris Harrison's statement, both with an apology and also with the news that he will be stepping aside from the franchise for after the final rose and potentially beyond. It's a lot to comprehend in Bachelor Nation, at least for me, but I can only imagine for my co-host Rachel, it's just been even more so, even more of a load, even more of a burden to take on, which is why I'm hogging the mic for a few minutes. Now, if you haven't yet done so, I highly recommend checking out Rachel's episode on her other podcast, which is called Higher Learning. It came out last week, and it includes all of Rachel's feelings on her conversation with Chris, as well as her initial reaction on Rachel Kirkconnell's statement that she put out there. But I don't want to keep having her have to relive this, what I can only assume was one of the most extremely difficult conversations she's had to have. So if you need to hit pause on this for a moment, please do so. Please go listen to Higher Learning and listen to what Rachel has to say. And if you do, I encourage you to just hear how she feels as a Black woman without asking her to have to relive everything once again. We won't be offended if you don't listen to us right now. So again, please pause this. Go check that out and then come back to us. One thing that I want to personally say on behalf of myself, on behalf of a co-host and a friend to Rachel, is just thank you. Thank you for being you, but thank you for being a beacon of fight and hope in the face of continuous ignorance and racism that we see in our world and within Bachelor Nation. I am no exception to that. I have made many mistakes in my past in conversations that were racially insensitive, racially ignorant, and I am personally trying to learn and grow. And that, Rachel Lindsay, is so much due to you. And I hope that everyone listening to this podcast who have stuck with us since the beginning are able to learn and grow as well, and to be able to see a white woman from Minnesota and a Black woman from Texas come together each week and have deep, important, and sometimes uncomfortable conversations together, but to still have so much respect for one another and to form a solid friendship from that. It means the world to me, Rachel. I value your friendship and your loyalty above so much else. And so thank you. And I want you to know that as a co-host, but also as a friend and an ally, that I hear you. I stand beside you. I have your back whenever you want it, even if you don't want it. And I know I'm not alone in saying that, because we saw an incredible show of solidarity with the women from Matt James's season, as well as men from Clarentatia's season, standing beside you. And so just know that we are here for you. We will fight. We will be allies. We just have your back. You know I'm not as eloquent as I would like to be. You know, Rachel's always the great one with the words here, but I needed to say that before we really get into the rest of this episode. So everyone listening, I try to lead by example. I hope everyone can take something from that. I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I will continue to screw up. But if nothing else, please continue to hold me accountable, just like I will do so the same in my circles. But I just encourage everyone listening to look at Rachel and see how she uses her voice and her platform and her strength to continue to fight for what we know is right. So thank you for letting me ramble on for a few minutes. It really means the world to me. And thank you, more importantly, to Rachel Lindsay, for everything that she does, that you do, Rachel. So thank you. Rachel and I have had some conversations back and forth about certain things that have been brought to light within mm-hmm. Bachelor Nation. I'm sure, unless you're living under a rock, you probably have seen some things go down. Different conversations are being had between my wonderful co-host here and some other folks. But at the time that we're recording this, I personally just did not sit well not being able to even speak on it a little bit. And I want to leave with this is, in terms of Rachel, which we have talked about, and we rest assured will have her on the podcast one day to really sit down, question her, but give her time to speak on, you know, the social media history and things that have been brought to our attention. We're hoping at this point a statement will come. As of this point right now, she has not released a statement, which, and Rachel and I, we've had multiple conversations of how this, especially you, I think, has made you feel the silence, like the lack of words and the statement being said. I just want you to know that, Rachel, like, life is a learning process for everyone. And I've tried to learn as much as I could within this past year, and I still am. But there's still more that needs to be done that I see. And maybe it's not fair of me to ask that or request this. But I want you to know, as a podcast host, and more importantly, as a friend, I have your back. Like, I stand by you when we do have a statement come out, when we do have to question her, all of that. But just so the world and these listeners know, in Bachelor Nation, we're not trying to ignore what's been going on. We will cover it one day, hopefully very soon, once we can have her on. And I just wanted to say that. I know I'm kind of rambling and off topic there, but is there anything that you would like to add in on top of that?
I mean, all I will say is, you guys, I'm fucking tired. I'm exhausted. No, that's true. I ain't taking that back. But what I do want to recognize is, Becca, thank you for saying that. Thank you for, you know, we've had our talks, and I love it because I feel like we can be an example of how two people can come from different worlds, can not necessarily agree, hash it out, understand each other better, and be better from it. And hopefully we're an example for other people on how to have these conversations. And I appreciate you always having my back, always supporting me. You know, you guys, she sends me texts, she checks on me when things are going on. And that's what it means to be an ally. It means to be outspoken. It means to not just say things. It means to act on them. It means to not be performative with your posts and reposting, you know, Black Lives Matter thing or retweeting or whatever it may be. It means to actually be actively anti-racist. Okay. That's what it means to really be an ally in all of this. And I'll be honest, I don't have many allies. I don't really have many allies of people who are actively really trying to fight things that are racist, things that maybe where there's implicit racism, things that are racist adjacent, which is this what we're dealing with in the current situation in Bachelor Nation. And so I think that's what I'm tired of. That's what I'm frustrated with. I'm tired of whenever there's an issue in Bachelor Nation, people want to come to me and they want to know, what does Rachel think? Oh, is Rachel going to say something? Is she going to pop off? Why are you only turning to me? Think about that. Ask yourself that question. Why is it up to Rachel? Is it because I'm Black? Is it because I'm outspoken? Maybe you should be holding other people who have positions of power, who have platforms, accountable as well. Maybe Rachel shouldn't be the one who's speaking. Maybe it would be so much more impactful if other people that you admired use their platforms. Maybe it would be great if you actually called out those people who were so quick to repost things on their social, so quick to say that they were listening and learning, but we haven't heard from them since. Nothing since. And most recent, which you have seen go down in Bachelor Nation, how many people have you seen actively say something, actively act on the problematic behavior that they've seen? Probably doesn't take up two hands. So all that to say, I'm thanking you, Becca, for everything that you do and what you represent. I am exhausted. I am tired. And it like never stops. I think that's what the thing is. It never freaking stops.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think the fact that it keeps happening in Bachelor Nation shows that it is a problem in this country and not just this franchise. The fact that people keep coming in with problematic behavior, the fact that things aren't necessarily changing a certain way, or people can't see things from another viewpoint. That's America. This is just a reflection of it.
Well, and it's not your battle to fight at this point. Like, I don't know why I'm getting like emotional here, but it's not like when you say people just keep coming to you, like, you guys, I am Rachel's co-host here. Like, I am her counterpart for this. Like, please come to me too and call me out or hold me accountable more. Like, you know, people have definitely done that in the past, but like, I want you to know, like, I will always have your back and I'm going to continue to learn and grow. And I'm not always going to do it right. I'm going to say stupid stuff at some point and probably put my foot in my mouth. But at the end of the day, like, what we're fully seeing transpire right now isn't, I think, and in terms of Rachel, not you, Rachel, but young Rachel, the part that gets me, and I can't even imagine how it's getting you, is just the silence. And I hope that we can have her on this podcast, and more so too, because, you know, we, Rachel and I, have different experiences. I've lived from my journey coming out, like, something very similar to what's going on now, what's transpiring. So I have a completely different outlook on it that I think once we do have her here, it could be, hopefully, a really transformative, educational, eye-opening conversation. So that's what I'm saying. I hope we have her to sit down and question her about it. Like, that's like, I hope that all three of us can sit down and take something away and actually learn and grow and move forward in a positive way, and not just say, like, you know, I was caught, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Peace.
It's actions, people. It's actions. How many people have you seen post a black box and then take that black box off their social media? How many people have you seen stop being actively, you know, reposting or continuing to grow and learn and then act on that? You've got to act. It's that, otherwise it's just performative. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. Rachel will release a statement. And we've seen this happen before in Bachelor Nation. Hannah Brown takes her time because she's figuring out what it is that she's going to say. She's taking the time to learn and understand the things that she's saying, then can conveniently, because of privilege, come back. And she admitted this herself and then give an apology when she's ready and when she feels like it. Forget within that time period that you waited, all the people that you offended along the way, the people who were waiting to hear something from you. You can apologize and then go back and listen and learn and research and understand the problematic behavior that you exhibited on social media or in real life. You don't have to wait to apologize. And I'm like you with the silence. At this point, I don't really care to hear it. It's been 6 weeks, if not more, just are now speaking out 6 weeks later. Like, what could have possibly stopped you from wanting to clear your name? What could have possibly stopped you from wanting to affiliate yourself with something that's so disgusting, you know, or defend your name, your reputation, your character is on trial here and you are losing it. So at this point, for people like me, who, yes, Chris Harrison, when you say, who is Rachel Lindsay to ask? Well, I can tell you, I am a Black woman who is personally offended by the things that Rachel has done or that she is affiliated with. So I can speak out and I can say exactly how I feel about it and that I do want to hear her apologize for the things that she's done. And 6 weeks is too much time. And it's not that I'm not giving her grace, a word that I have learned to hate because of Bachelor Nation. It's not that I'm not giving her compassion or giving her space. It's that I'm holding her accountable. And I think that's what people have to realize. You can hold somebody accountable and still have compassion or give them space or give them understanding and a willingness to learn. That is what I'm giving her. But it doesn't mean that I'm hating on her or I'm canceling on her just because I'm expecting her to be a better person. Mm-hmm. That said, I don't know why people confuse the two.
Well, and going back to our conversation that we had after George Floyd was murdered, the first podcast episode in June, where I was so ignorant. I was so just surface level white girl living my perfect life. And we had that conversation. Now, was it difficult for probably both of us on different spectrums for different reasons? Yes. But that was probably one of the most transformative conversations I could have ever had in my entire life. And I feel like it helped me grow tremendously. And I never want to stop, you know. That's, again, like, that's not to say I won't mess up here and there and do or say something wrong, but that was the beauty of it. And I feel like so many people after that podcast episode bashed either one of us for different reasons, you know. And that's the beauty of it. It's like we can sit down, we can have those difficult, uncomfortable conversations and still take something from the other person and hopefully take that into our lives and want to continue to be better, just a better human, a more accepting, like, eye-opening, you know, like, to realize our faults and to just want to be better and move on from there. So that's, at this point, that's all I can hope that we would get with Rachel when we do have her on. So,
yeah, you know, we'll see what happens, Becca, with all of this and how it goes down. But the point is, it's just sad. Mm-hmm. It's just sad. And I think the silence makes things a lot more difficult than they should be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's not easy. It's not easy to have these conversations. It's not easy to own up to the things that you've done, but it's not going to go away. Those days are over where you can just let things pass through. Mm-hmm. And go and like ignore them, and enough time will go by and no one will talk about it. No, we live in a society, thank goodness now, where people will hold you accountable for what you do. They're not going to forget.
Right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, now for more bullshit, last night's episode. Last night, there was a lot that went down in that episode. I feel like all these episodes are so jam-packed, especially as of lately. We got a lot of women that are left.
Yes.
Big moments for you. What stood out in this episode?
A couple things. Well, first, I want to say it finally felt more like a real episode where, like, I mean, up until this point, it's been filled with drama. So now we're starting to see a little bit more. It just felt normal to me. If you know, okay. Minus the, like, Heather showing up, leaving, that type of thing. I'm just going to give you quick highlights. One thing that I just need to call out off of the top of this is thank goodness for the musical talent that was Aloe Black and not your standard country singer. I love Aloe Black. And so when they had him, even in the teaser from last week, when they showed, when they like started piecing everything together with him singing in the background, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like so artsy. And like, it, you know, it like felt like I was watching a movie, like a teaser to a movie. So, I mean, I would say he is probably like the highlight that I saw go down last night. But what about you?
Absolutely. He would get the highlight. I was shocked. At first when they were playing his song, I was like, oh, that's just music that they're adding to the preview. No, Aloe Black is actually there. Mm-hmm. Absolutely that. I don't really have highlights.
Wait, but what about this? When he was performing and Matt and Rachel were dancing to him and the girls are back just sobbing, listening to this beautiful song.
Not a highlight. Well, actually, no. I guess it's kind of cruel. Yes, it was. It made me chuckle because what is unclear at this moment is, could the women who did not get chosen, the ones who were sitting on the couch and crying, could they hear Aloe Black? Because he sounded loud. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was just my TV screen or what, but he sounded very loud. Could they hear him singing? Because it was like the soundtrack to their tears. Mm-hmm. And it was like the juxtaposition between the two was funny. And I know y'all were trying to be funny when y'all gave that to us. And it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was not thrilled necessarily like that Rachel was the one chosen for the date, because I want to see other women get highlighted in their time. But it was funny to see because it just was like such a pitiful scene.
It was like a little comedic relief that maybe we needed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a read the room this week? Since we added that segment last week, who was not able to read the room?
Oh, that's a good question.
I am going to say Heather again. Not that I don't want to harp on Heather too much because we've already, but since she carried over into this episode, she really thought, I think, that she was going to be able to stay. Mm-hmm. Matt sent her home. Now, I do love this statement. It's one of my favorites. I'm not going to congratulate a fish for swimming. Right? Not gonna give you a pat on the back for doing something that you're supposed to do. I'm not gonna give Matt kudos for sending Heather home. He had no choice. Mm-hmm. If he didn't send Heather home, the rest of the women would have turned on him.
Mm-hmm.
I really think if the women had been accepting of Heather, he would have kept her. I do. Mm-hmm. I really do. I was not, the women were like, no, there would have been an uprising.
Maybe that would have been the read the room then, because I think Heather went in not even thinking the girls would maybe have an issue with it.
Yeah, no, Heather didn't read the room. She gets the award.
Yeah.
Once again.
One other thing that stood out to me was on the group date when Bree and Matt were talking and she told him that she quit her job for him, which is, I mean, you know, coming onto the show, everyone knows you have to leave your job for potentially 2 months. Now, a lot of times, like, jobs will let you come back. In my case, I was lucky enough to be able to go back into PR when I came back. But yeah, I found it interesting because she had been gone for a good chunk of time. And when she finally sat down with Matt and was like, oh, a couple days ago, I had to resign. So basically, like, let's make this happen. It better be worth it. I, for a hot second, was watching her story and I was like, oh my gosh, Matt, if you send her, I had like this moment where I was like, he's going to send her home right now. And I was like, don't do it. So I'm glad that he kept her.
He better pick her. Okay. Mm-hmm. This woman sacrificed a whole career. Now, I don't know what I would have done in that situation if I were Bree, but I'm going to go ahead and venture to say I would have self-eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have been able at that point. I'm not that much of a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. This is no knock towards Matt. I just, if it was my dream job and I was doing it and it was also a part of like family and supporting them, I just don't know if I would be able to take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
So with Bree, I thought it was nice to see her tell that story. I felt my heart went out to her. I'm glad that Matt validated her by giving her a rose. And I like Bree. I want to see more of Bree. Mm-hmm. There's several women we need to see more of.
Yes.
But it was a sweet moment. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been able to do it, but good for you, Bree. You know what? Let's find out who Bree's employer is and let's get Bree hired back. Okay.
Yes.
Bachelor Happy Hour listeners, We have to get this woman a job. Whether she's with Matt or not, we need to get this beautiful, smart, like this woman who is sacrificing for love. This woman, how could they not, you know, hire her back? Hopefully she has a job. I don't
know. Well, and she said it was her
job. She's on the podcast. That's the first question I'm asking. Where are you employed?
Do we need to start a GoFundMe if they don't take you back? What do we got to do?
Get this woman her job back. Start a petition. You know, in Bachelor Nation, y'all are quick to do that. Abigail, man, talk about a fall from grace.
I know.
Right?
I could kind of see it coming, let's be honest.
Yeah, he didn't give her any love after that first impression, Rose, at least from what we saw on our screen. Probably in real life, but from what we saw.
Yeah. So, yeah, we lost Abigail. We then lost Kit. Kit self-eliminated. I felt like this episode was kind of
self-elimination.
Like bang, 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 chop, 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 you know?
There was nothing, though, with Kit. There was nothing. It was like she was very upfront, which when we were reading her bio, we said this. She's 21. Mm-hmm. She's got all these things. This is a woman who is not ready for marriage and kids. Mm-hmm. Then she gets on there and says, I'm a long-term investment. This is a woman who's not ready for marriage, kids, and all of that.
Yes.
So, and I feel like Matt was kind of like, me neither. Me, hold on. Wait.
I like that. Thank you.
Me neither. But she eliminates. There seemed to be no emotion really from her. Mm-hmm. No emotion from him. It was weird. I've never seen a self-elimination like that. Usually at this point in the journey, people are sad. And maybe that's why she decided to let it go.
Yeah. I think she knew at that point, like, especially for hometowns. And she talked about how important, like, her mom and the career was to her that, I'm not surprised that she chose to leave at that moment. I kept wondering, you remember the very first teaser we saw at his premiere where it shows him just, like, sobbing outside and Chris Harrison coming up and being like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I keep wondering. I thought that was going to happen last night. I don't know why. Maybe it was, like, the outfit he was wearing. I felt like it was very similar. So I'm like, when is this moment going to happen?
I knew it wasn't going to. I don't think any of these women are bringing him. And I said this earlier. I don't think any of these women are bringing him down to his knees like that. He does not. I do not feel the love. Okay. You know what song is not playing in the background? Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Elton John is not making an appearance. Neither are Simba and Nala. I feel nothing between Matt and these women.
Mm-hmm.
He likes them. He seems cool with them. He seems attracted to them, but there's like
the spark.
There's the passion. No spark. I've never seen anything like it before. Mm-hmm. It's like the complete opposite of Peter, where he seemed to fall in love with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Matt just seems to be big kicking it.
They're like the yin and the yang, like so vastly different in the way that they handle their relationships. But yeah, it's like, it's not intimate. I mean, he had the most intimate date with Serena last night, and there was nothing.
Nothing. He's like, I like you. You know what I like? Matt is the homie. I'm telling y'all, he is friend zoning all these women. There is no spark, no connection. I don't get it. Either that, or he's just awkward, maybe with dating women. He's attractive, but there's no charm. He's handsome, but he's not like a smooth operator. Something is afoot. Something is missing. I don't know what it is. But you know who we can ask?
Jesenia.
Our guest. Mm-hmm. Our guest who is coming up. Before we bring her on, I do want to acknowledge that we have made it to hometowns. Hometowns are always a big week. Cannot wait to see what we have in store with that. We saw Piper go home. Want to acknowledge that because we just had her on the podcast as well. I really thought Piper was going to get a hometown.
I did too.
Especially after that one-on-one with Serena P.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I would have said for sure Piper is going to hometown
Serena P.
Serena P would have gone home, especially after like how uncomfortable she was.
Absolutely. But you know, again, things we don't see.
But again, Rachel, men's decisions don't always make sense to us.
They don't. They absolutely don't. But we had Piper on the podcast last week. We like her. She seems like a catch. So, you know, if any men listen to this podcast, you know, maybe you could slide in her DMs, or maybe we'll see her on Paradise. Who knows? All right. Or maybe we'll ask our next guest, because right now it is that time. We haven't even told y'all yet that we have a guest or who it is. But the guest that we have this week, we saw her get a one-on-one, which is why we didn't cover it in our recap. She may not have drifted into Matt's heart, But she is here to chat about everything that went down, and we're excited to chat with her as well. Please welcome Jasenia to the show.
Well, welcome, Jasenia. We're so happy to have you here. And I don't know if you've listened to our podcast before, but each week, Rachel and I always say this because we don't get to see a ton of you women, like really for who you are. And I would say within the last episode that we saw, we're finally getting to see you. But thank goodness we have you to sit down with us to give us a little bit more behind the scenes and the tea and just your experience overall. So just to start, how have you been?
I've been good. Honestly, this experience has definitely been a whirlwind. I don't think any of us have experienced anything like this before. But for the most part, I mean, I'm pretty happy. I am glad that it's like done just because, okay, I can move on to the next chapter kind of thing. But no, overall, it's been great.
I feel like you're one of the first people that we've had on our podcast that actually now has been sent home. So we know your full story from start to finish. So how has it been?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like, because I think that the past couple of guests, they haven't been able to like fully divulge everything that they went through because they were still on the season. So you're the first one that, you know, has experienced it now, beginning to end in your so-called journey. So like watching that all back, how has it been taking that all in?
It's been a lot because it's one thing to experience in it, to experience it, and then to watch it back, you learn just how much they leave out. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to see it kind of play out. And then you see what had more focus. Like, I'm not going to lie, I think, you know, the drama definitely took precedence this season rather than the love stories or even the women's stories as well. A lot of my conversations that I had with Matt were really heartfelt, and it would have been nice to have seen it be played back. But for the most part, I mean, I'm just taking it as it comes. And every episode so far has been like drama, drama, drama. And I'm ready for the love stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because we had Abigail on the podcast, and we were throwing out superlatives, and she was naming them. She was giving out the awards of who was who.
Okay.
And you were, and I can't remember the exact name, but it was like basically the one who's going to speak their mind, AKA top off. Why do you think that she gave you that award?
I don't know. Perhaps because I did speak up, and you know, I know that the 2-on-1 is definitely, if anything, it's the most screen time I've had. And it is like one of the bigger situations in the season that happened as well. I don't know. I think that whole situation for me was kind of that opportunity for me to go ahead and step forward in terms of, you know, because Katie, of course, was speaking out about it as well. And for me, you know, I did seem like, okay, I'm going to have to go through with this, because when it was first brought up, when Matt had addressed the situation at the rose ceremony, he specifically used terms like OG, newbie, us versus them kind of mentality. And so when he and I sat down to talk, I was hoping we wouldn't talk about drama, because if I remember, he had already walked Anna out. So I was hoping we wouldn't have to talk about anything, but he did ask me, how are things at the house? And I was honest. I mean, I went back to the terms that he brought up. I said, well, yeah, words like OG newbie is being used, just like varsity versus JV is being used as well. But that's something that MJ dubbed. It's, you know, so that I could at least separate that. It's not that we were all using those terms. It was like specific people. So yeah, I feel like the 2-on-1 just never even had to happen in the first place, honestly, because when Matt brought it up to MJ, that was the perfect opportunity to say, well, yeah, I did say a comment that I meant as a joke. And I apologize to the ladies. And since then we've moved forward. That could have been the end of it. But instead it just turned into this whole us versus them kind of thing. And yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
I want to ask you about that moment, because that 2-on-1 was really the first time, you know, we saw you saw you speak up against it. And I've said this to Rachel many times, that 2-on-1 was so random to me, you know, like so had random. You asked me a week or two earlier, there's no way in hell I would have said, oh, Jasenia and MJ are going to be on this 2-on-1, you know, like it was just, it came out of left field, it felt like. And so getting that date card prior, because it was right before the rose ceremony. So when you heard your name on that, like, did you have any idea that you were going to be chosen for that? Or was it like, buckle up, here we go?
So initially I thought, okay, well, actually what I did say, in fact, was this could have been avoided. I said it out loud. I said, this could have been avoided. But then, of course, we had to go get ready for the rose ceremony. And that's where we really kind of had our back and forth. But I remember just thinking, you know what? I'm going to stand my ground. I know what I said is fact. We've all seen it. And I'm not the only one who has seen and heard it either. So I don't have anything to worry about. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, when I spoke with Matt, it would just be clear and open. And it's not to say either that that was the only issue with MJ either. Like, it was the fact that she just wouldn't take accountability for her actions. And the problem too is that many of us played a role in some way, big or small, and we at least own up to that fact. And we did apologize, we make amends, whatever. And she just would refuse to take accountability. And I think that was the bigger issue for me. I was not pressed over just a JD Varsity comment. It was really the fact that I learned later when Matt told me that she didn't know what was going on at the house. I was like, huh, okay. So she's pulling a veil over his face, unfortunately, and trying to remove herself from a situation that she was clearly part of. So,
yeah, it's crazy because you can tell that there are great women in the house. It's like there's an equal amount of like great women versus the dramatic ones. And, you know, we've seen Matt come in and clean house. But as Becca and I prep for the podcast, we're like, we really don't know what to ask our guest unless it's related to drama, which is such a shame because that's all we've seen. So please, you know, tell us a little bit about like who Jessenia is, how she got to the show, and then what maybe people didn't get to see about you on the show.
Yeah. So one detail everyone knows is, you know, I'm a social media marketing manager. So I work in digital marketing and I basically just help businesses kind of promote their message, whether it's for an organization or a product line. I just kind of help them master or something that works for them in terms of projecting whatever message or product that might be. And I live in Texas. I love it here. I'm considering relocating, but we'll see about that.
Wait, where in Texas are you?
San Antonio.
Okay, I'm from Dallas.
Okay, not far.
So I got Texas Girls United.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, there were a lot of conversations that I had had with Matt that were really heartfelt. I know the first one was just me emphasizing how important it is for me to find a partner that shares the same values as I do. And one thing that I mentioned to him was, you know, I'm looking for someone who can be my rock. And I remember in the situation that I was in, feeling like, okay, well, I want a partner that I have open communication with who can trust me, which is why it was important to me. And it did mean a lot to me that Matt gave me that validation that he did in fact believe me. But aside from that, I mean, there's a lot that I talked about. I mean, Matt was really great about opening up to me about his family as well. I opened up to him about my struggles with depression even. So it's like, there were a lot of conversations that didn't air.
Mm-hmm. See, this is why we love having you, because these are the things that I think, me and most of our listeners would want to hear, like the
Absolutely.
Real deep foundational conversations that make up any sort of relationship.
Yeah. And foundational is a great word because for me, my example is my parents. I grew up as a military child with dual military parents. So they were both in the Army. And that was a tough upbringing, but I learned to appreciate it later on because I did have a moment where I just resented moving so much, but I learned to appreciate it. And it was even a period in my life where it was just my brother and I. My dad was deployed for 15 months. My mom was a drill sergeant, so we barely saw her. And it would just be me in high school having to drive my brother to his school, come to my school. And it was like a balancing act, and I had to grow up really fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What made you originally want to come on the show, or how did you get involved with it in the first place?
So I remember I had applied sometime in January and I was literally in pajamas with coffee, just like, whatever, I'll do it. Because it was a show that my mom and I would watch. Especially at that time, things were kind of slowing down a bit. So it was getting around that time where you should stay home and all that. So we got hooked onto Peter season, but that's the only season that I've seen. That's it.
Wow. Woo! That's it. To start with. That's what you have to go by.
Yeah, I know. And that, which is why I would like refer to clips on YouTube or something of other seasons. But yeah, mm-hmm. Peter's the only full season that I've seen.
Wasn't always that way. So your measure of a bachelor. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Peter, but we're talking about how he was as a bachelor. Your measure, your standard of bachelors. It's not even a plural. Was just Peter.
Peter.
So, I mean, well, let me ask you this then. How do you think Matt did as a bachelor? You know, a lot was thrown at him. A lot was thrown at y'all. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's unfair that these women keep popping up on Matt, but it's also unfair to you guys because that's not normally the format of the show. No. How do you think Matt handled it? And did he make you feel seen and heard despite all the additions and the twists and turns that popped up on this season?
Going into it, considering I was new to it and I knew that he was new to it, I didn't want to hold him to too high of a standard. I did want to give him the grace to, you know, make his mistakes and try to get by as best as he could, but he totally exceeded my expectations. I think he did wonderful and he is really receptive. He definitely is a communication kind of person because once things were brought to his attention, I mean, he targeted every situation and he really, you know, handled it. And he does make you feel seen. It was something that a lot of the girls and I related on because although we had this dynamic where we wouldn't share what we talked to Matt about, like intimate details, just so that, you know, we could have that, still maintain that friendship without it getting too weird because obviously we're dating the same guy. We would express how Matt was so great at communication and he would always make you feel really good after you had a conversation with him. And one night I even expressed, you know, there's that term where people talk about, oh, like this person lights up a room. I personally haven't met someone that I could apply that to. And I felt that way about Matt. I thought every time he'd come in the room, it was like a breath of fresh air and we weren't jittery or nervous. So he was really good about making sure that we were all somewhat level-headed.
Interesting. Okay, so prior to you hopping on, we had this conversation where at this point, obviously we're right before hometowns, it's hard as a viewer to tell who he's super into. Like we don't see, and we can chalk it up to maybe the drama that took hold of everything. So we don't see a lot of the conversations between him and any of the women. And so it's hard for us to really nail down who he's into, you know, like I think going into this episode, there was like 8 or 9 or maybe 10 women left. And I was like, it's a free for all. We don't know. Like he could hand up these 4 golden tickets and it could be at random.
Yeah.
And so, but it's interesting because there was 3 eliminations prior to the rose ceremony. So it makes it seem like he knows who he's into, who he's keeping around. So did you up until that point, like know who he had the strongest connections with? Like, could you see it in the house? Was it very apparent or was it more like he's into all of us and no one was really sure?
I think in the beginning you could, cause I don't know what it is. It's like when people vibe differently with each other, I think it was easier to tell at the beginning. But as you go further and further, you're thinking, well, I'm not here for no reason, you know? So he obviously sees something in each of us, which is why I think it was so important for me personally. Like I wanted to have that one-on-one to know for a fact, like, is this it or not? Mm-hmm. So I think it actually got harder to tell towards the end because even then we were all struggling and we all talked about it too. We're like, we don't know where Matt's head is at. So it was really hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you got the one-on-one, obviously you were super excited about that. They always are exciting to get. But how did you feel on it? I mean, I was, and Becca too, because we talked a little bit about this, a little taken aback that you said that you were falling in love with him because we didn't see it.
Yeah.
Like, did you feel it or, and I'll just be blunt, did you really feel that? Were you caught up in the moment or was it like a last ditch effort? Because it's hometowns and it's like, I gotta let him know that I'm feeling him this way.
So for me, it was more about leaving it all out on the table. I did not want to walk away from there regretting not telling him something, especially that. Unfortunately, you guys didn't get to see a lot of our communication because that's how you see, how does that come about? You know, like what made her fall for him? It was how he talked to me. It was how he validated me, how he treated me, and all the things that we would connect on. That's what initially made me, you know, fall for him. And it wasn't so much that I was like, yeah, I'm in love, this is end game, but I was falling for him for sure. Mm-hmm. But definitely, I'm not going to lie, I felt it in my gut that
we always
wasn't
do.
Going. Yeah,
I know. We always really do, weird, girl.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Women, we are witches and we feel it, and you have to pay attention to that feeling inside.
Yep.
Let me ask you this, Jessenia. How do you feel about the screen time that women of color got on the show?
Thank you for asking. Because that's something that I've come, after every episode that would go by, I'm like, geez, I'm barely seeing so-and-so or so-and-so. And I remember, you know, Chelsea, I'm glad Chelsea was able to have her story, but I know that Maggie had an incredible story to share as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one was able to see that, you know, and it is really upsetting that also a lot of me included, we seem to only have screen time because we're tied to some kind of drama, and it's mm-hmm. incredibly frustrating. So I'm happy you brought that up because I definitely want to make my sentiments known.
Mm-hmm. You can't tote around the fact that you have the most diverse cast, but then not give
show
the spotlight mm-hmm. no. to, it's like one thing if you're giving, I get Victoria was the drama, but now we're in the later seasons and I have yet to see Michelle really talk in an ITM. Yeah. I'm mm-hmm. constantly watching Rachel.
Yeah.
So I'm just very curious, you being a part of it, you were in it, you know how much you were talking in interviews or, you know, mm-hmm. how much time that you spent with Matt. It's disappointing.
It's disappointing and it's honestly frustrating. And I cannot tell you how many hours of interview I have, how many hours I spent talking to Matt, and I didn't get to see any of that. And it's really mm-hmm. not fair because each one of these women, we put our lives on hold. Some of us even quit our jobs. We sacrificed a lot to go there because we had this faith in this system that Bachelor has created for us to meet this incredible guy, but we can't even see our stories unfold on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
Let me ask both of you this, because I mean, I know what I would say, but do you feel like ABC or the franchise as a whole for the show, like they just checked the boxes, you know, like it wasn't really until this year when the petition started to have a more diverse cast. And I think for the crew to overall to create this show, do you feel like they just at that point were like, let's check the box, you know,
mm-hmm.
we got our first almost, Black Bachelor.
Yeah, it was almost like they're trying to, it's like, okay, well, if we give them that, like we can always say, oh, but we did have a diverse cast. We did have a Black Bachelor, but it's like, but when you watch the season, you're not seeing that. You're not mm-hmm. seeing it reflect. And one thing that I loved about Tayshia's season was that there were serious conversations being had and they were impactful.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
All we're getting right now is drama, drama, drama. I mean, over really vapid subjects, honestly. Let's be realistic.
Absolutely.
So, I don't get it. Like, there are so many amazing women, and that's what frustrates me, is I was able to know these women in ways that the audience never will, and to know their stories and to see that they didn't even get the opportunity to share that is beyond frustrating.
I guess to piggyback on some of the things that you were saying, Jessenia, because you were in there, in the moment, I find it very interesting that at this point, we know the four women that are mm-hmm. going to hometowns, and three out of the four are of color.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm like, how are these the women that are here? Because we haven't seen them. We haven't seen their relationships develop. And they're only one of them we've seen. We've seen more of her than we have of the three of them combined personally. Michelle's the person who started out as a front runner,
mm-hmm.
Who I was like, wow, they have a big connection.
Oh, Brie.
Haven't seen her since.
Yeah.
Where's Michelle? Unless she's on a group on the couch with the women. Are you shocked? Because you're there. Did you see these with the four that are left, particularly the three of color? Did you see Matt's relationships with them progress? Because maybe there's something we're missing here.
Well, that's the thing too, is I wish that they would have shown a more cohesive story with these women who are, you know, now considered the top four, three of them being women of color. Because then it would have made sense. And the audience would have said, of course she's there, you know? So for me, you know, Brie was my roommate, you know, I ride for Brie, and, you know, she and I would definitely have our intimate conversations, and, you know, we would share about how we were feeling about the process. And so I could see her feelings grow for him. Of course, you know, Michelle, I ended up, after the initial shock of her arrival, I did, you know, I was able to sit down and have a conversation with her by the fireplace. And it was so nice to just get to know her. These are two women that I have a lot of love for. And I wish that, you know, we could have seen more of them.
Yes. And this is why I know my request as a viewer is not going to mean anything, but in the future, and this is something I vocalized to you, Rach, on the podcast, is, you know, the drama, I want it for a little bit, but like the show is about love. The show is about finding connections and finding a potential lifelong partner. Like, we need to start seeing more of the whys and how that's being created on the show. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as you said, I don't remember the exact word you used, but when you said it's just like this vapid bullshit drama that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It is. And that's the thing too, is like, another point that I do want to emphasize on is, yes, the drama was there, you know, the toxicity was there, but there was a good equal amount of respect for each other of, you know what, we messed up, let's move forward. It's really trying to cultivate a much healthier environment. We had our moments where we were literally in stitches because we were laughing so much and we were having a great time. I wish more of that was shown. But I mean, who am I? Mm-hmm. I'm just there.
And it happens to all of us. Like, we all, like, you know, we get you filmed for a week, and I mean, weeks at a time, but 1 week goes into 2 hours. So it's impossible for everything. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. You know, like,
it's very,
you're not alone. We all feel that way. We wish that there were more things that were shown. And that's what women tell all us for.
I know.
How is your relationship right now with most of the women? Like, close now that it's done and the dramas in the past?
Yeah, I know. Now that it's done, I mean, I can say the women I'm closest to is Brie, of course. She's my roommate. So she's like my day one, essentially. We'll have our little check-ins here and there. But next could be Katie, even though our relationship didn't really develop until just before she left, like, I don't know, maybe a week or so. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Michelle and Serena P as well.
Okay. I'm glad to hear about Katie, because I said last week it doesn't look like Katie has any friends in the house. People seem to be giggly when she went home. I was wait, what happened here?
Because we love her.
People are sad.
Okay. I have to say this, because there are some things that are shown and they're kind of exaggerated a bit.
Okay.
Because, like, for me personally, there was, and I got bashed for it because it looked hypocritical on my part. There's a part, or it was during a group date where, in, you know, at the after parties, we have multiple conversations. It's not just about one thing. And just know that not everything that is seen has happened cohesively. A lot of it is kind of like thrown together or condensed, I guess, so that you can get an idea of what happened that night. But yeah, people are dogging me for my I love us comment. And I was like, I didn't mean that in a mean way. I was legitimately laughing about things that we were talking about, not necessarily the conversation that was shown.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so, you know, to go on about Katie, like, I didn't laugh that she was leaving. It was just like that shock of like, oh my God, this is getting real, you know? And on top of that, she was very confident about her connection with Matt. So a lot of us were kind of thinking, whoa, maybe she will come back home. So to see that she didn't was a shock.
Okay, that's good to know that she was confident in her connection, because we didn't see that. Mm-hmm. She was always the homie. Katie was always the homie with Matt. I never saw any romantic spark, but I'm glad that she felt that, because again, we don't see everything. So she felt connected, because even when she left, she was probably just like stone cold because she was in shock. And like, Becca and I know how that goes, but I'm happy to hear that she felt they had a connection.
Yeah, no, definitely.
We didn't see it.
The thing is, you know, there are so many connections, whether as as strong as they were or as weak as they were, you didn't get to see a lot of our conversations with Matt. You know, he and I had a lot of laughs and we really dove deep into family values and things that we've struggled with even. And he even opened up to me about something that I didn't expect him to share. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it's good to know that we have that comfort within each other where he could share that with me, just like I was able to share things with him. So yeah, I definitely would have loved for there to be more emphasis on those conversations that mm-hmm. all of us had with him.
Okay. So last night we obviously see you go home. Now you are in the real world. The world knows that you are what I'm assuming single, ready to mingle. So two part question. Number one, and I can't believe you're the first person I've ever asked this, because I remember having this conversation with a lot of the women on my season of The Bachelor. Is we got off the show and, you know, once the show was airing and but we all knew what happened, I was like, you guys date, like, how is dating going to be for you? Like, do you think it's going to be easier in the real world? Is it going to be harder?
Yeah.
So for you personally, how do you think that's going to go? Part one of my question. But then part two, I mean, you know, there's this thing looming in a beautiful sunset somewhere one day that just happens to be called paradise. Mm-hmm. Do you potentially see yourself frolicking on the beach, meeting
on the beach
many men?
Listen, the dating apps didn't work for me before. I don't think they'll work for me now, because it's like, we're what, considered like public figures now. I don't know how comfortable I am about putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. And besides this experience, I've always loved meeting people organically. So I'm pretty sure I won't be on any dating apps, but paradise, I don't know. It's up in the air right now, to be honest with you. I think it will really depend on where I am in my life at that point. Mm-hmm. If I get the call, I'll really think about it. But I don't know. It's definitely not a yes, definitely right now.
Mm-hmm. Think about it. We'd like to see more of you. And I will tell you this. This is one of the positive things. Okay, maybe sometimes we talk about the not so great things. But one of the best things I feel from going through this experience is because it's the OG quarantine, right? Mm-hmm. When you're stripped from everything, you're in this bubble, and all you can deal with is yourself and your feelings and what you want in life. Mm-hmm. And when that bubble bursts, you're so vulnerable because you've been having these conversations over and over again, mm-hmm. laying in your bed at night, flying. Oh gosh, that was like, I feel like that was rude. I was going to say flying on these planes to places. And you haven't. I'm so sorry. I got carried away. I'm so sorry. But when the bubble bursts and you're back in the real world, you are so in touch with how you feel mm-hmm. that it does make dating easier because you're so open and you know what you want. So it's like, nope, you waste my time. Oh, I'm very open. I love love. And I want this for myself because I can know it's romanticized. I don't mm-hmm. know. There's something special about that.
Jasenia, this has been so fun having you on. I have one final question, but before I have this actual real final question, I just want to know, going back to, and I don't want to keep talking about the drama, but in the moment when you and MJ were sitting on the couch before Matt came in and you called her Meredith, which we know is her real name, but I don't think anyone.
Oh, it is? I didn't catch that.
What made you say that? Were you just feeling like we're just going to go all in?
You know, it was the complete lack of self-awareness for me. And it was like trying my hardest to keep it together because unfortunately, I know that if I had bursted and reacted the way she did, people wouldn't necessarily react the way they would towards her as they would me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to keep it together and I just knew that that would probably get under her skin a little
bit. Sure, over the edge a little bit.
And just because at that point it was just purely frustration. I was like, okay, I'm mm-hmm. over this, you know?
Yeah. But when I heard that, I was like, whew, I should have popped some popcorn.
And that's the thing is a lot of us will say things out of frustration in the moment. And it's tough because week after week, it's been one wrench after the other. So a lot of us, you know, we have our moments where, you know, in a big way or small way, you know, how we express ourselves might offend someone, but it's never directly towards them per se. It's more like the situation and they're just the physical embodiment of what's happening right now. So it's natural just kind of like get frustrated and blow it on them. But yeah, it's definitely something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great segue then to go into our last question. The big and the small, we always ask all of our guests this overall, because we've now seen your entire journey on The Bachelor play out. What was your rose and what was your thorn of the season?
I'll start with my thorn, so we can leave it on a good note. My thorn would have to be, again, playing on, you know, wishing that there was more, more stories that were shared. I think that this is an incredible cast of women, and I would have loved to have seen more of those stories unfold. And the other part of that thorn would have to be, I guess, just kind of, you know, I always knew that Bachelor Nation was huge. I always knew that. But it is ironic to see people who, you know, supposedly support the show, and they bash you for one thing or the other, but they do it in a way where they're degrading you and calling you names. And it's like, well, you're turning around and doing the same thing that you're judging these women for. So for me, my message would be, think about it before you comment that, because mm-hmm. the internet is forever and screenshots are a thing. And my rose would have to be meeting all of these really incredible women. I feel like I always knew that if I didn't get the guy, I'd walk away with some really special friendships. And I feel confident in that. And another part of that would have to be I was capable of being really vulnerable with Matt and opening up with him about things that were important to me. And it almost felt like a practice round, even. Like, now I feel more ready to meet someone than I did before. So mm-hmm. I feel good about it.
It's a stepping stone to lead you to where you gotta be. All right, Jasenia, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We can't wait to see everything go down, see you again on our screens during the Women Tell All. So until then, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a great night.
Jasenia was great. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed her.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, it's great when they come on here and we can have longer conversations and really get to understand these women, why they're on the show and why they made it as far as they did.
Yeah, it's so much more personal. Like mm-hmm. I feel like we saw more of Jasenia for this 30-40 minutes that we had on than we did. And so I feel very like this might sound cheesy, but blessed in a way to be able to have these, for the most part, amazing women on for the world to see. You know, hopefully, like I said, we'll see more of them in Paradise and more of their stories unfold and more connections forming between the women and whatever men we see. But it was really good to have her. She said something there, I think, when she was talking about like the thorn overall, just insightful, I think. Mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah. And what I do appreciate too is, you know, we've been critical in saying we don't, you know, see these relationships develop. But what's satisfying is they were there. They mm-hmm. they did have these relationships. She felt that they were developing. And we've heard that reiterated on the show before. So I'm glad that, you know, she said that it's made her ready for the next person, which really is a beautiful thing that you can come out with out of this entire franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, once again, thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's been a great episode. We're excited for next week. Next week, it's dun-dun-dun, hometowns. I have no idea what to expect. It's going to be quite interesting for a lot of reasons. One thing I'm hoping for is that we don't see the same things that were done during Tayshia's season in this hometown. I don't want to see... Remember those basketball hoops that they had, the little kid carnival? It was fun in spirit, but it was like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see anybody doing dance moves like Brendan. I don't want to see cardboard taxis. I don't want to see, what else did we see that?
Bagels.
You know, I think it was the first, cute.
Yeah.
It was cute in theory, but guess what? I'm already seeing that with Nicole, and they have stepped things up. You know, we're seeing them leave the property, or maybe the property's so big, they're on the property this entire time. It looks like we're finally getting the love stories that we want to see. So we'll just have to wait and see how it all plays out. But if you guys have any questions, any comments, any guest ideas, you know where to find us at Bachelor Happy Hour on Instagram and at Batch Happy Hour on Facebook and Twitter.
And as always, you guys, if you never want to miss listening to us or an episode, please subscribe to our podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Wondery app, or wherever you're listening to us right now. Thanks, guys. Take care.
So this year, I'm really focused on my health, sticking to a routine, and that's why I've been loving Symbiotica. Symbiotica is one of the fastest growing health and wellness companies out right now, and they're one of the only brands that are wholly committed to your health. They don't use any seed oils, no preservatives or toxins in their supplements. They source the best ingredients from all around the world, and they're super easy to take when you're on the go. They also taste good.
I try to stay really consistent with my morning routine, and something that I always include is taking my supplements every single day. I've been taking these Symbiotica supplements and loving them. My goal has been to support my immune system with the supplements that I've been taking, so I've been taking them every morning with my coffee and my breakfast. Joe does as well, and I've been really loving the results that I've been seeing.
My routine, I have my eggs in the morning, I take a Symbiotica, and I'm ready to take on the day, hit the gym, I'm more alert, I just feel good. What's even better is that Symbiotica makes it a breeze to stay on track. With a subscription, your supplements arrive at your doorstep every month. Ready to feel the results? Head over to Symbiotica.com and use Bachelor for 15% off your subscription order. Serena, you know what I want to do right now?
What's that, Joe?
I want to travel because I feel like we've been stuck in this apartment for just a little too long.
I couldn't agree more. Honestly, I love getting away. It's great in New York, but I could use a little bit of vacation.
There's nothing I enjoy more than going on vacation with you.
I agree. You're my favorite travel partner.
We can go try new restaurants, check out different cities. Should we go right now?
I mean, we're always looking for our next place to go. So where should we go?
Maybe a beach. I have a good idea. Take the Beachbound Vacations Perfect Beach Finder Quiz. You could find exactly what you are looking for by taking this 5-question assessment. Find your perfect beach vacation and take the perfect beach finder quiz exclusively at beachbound.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.